And I want to get into the scripture, and let's all stand today. We're going to go to Luke chapter number 7. We were in Luke 7 last week. If you'll remember last week, we talked about Jesus healing the centurion's servant. And also, if you'll remember, there was a widow woman that her only son had died, and Jesus raised him from the dead. And so we talked about those two stories last week. This is immediately after that, okay? So we're going to start reading at verse number 18, and we're going to read from verse 18 through verse 30. And I would apologize for the lengthy reading, but it's the Word of God, and so no apology needed, right? Because it's the Word of God. So Luke chapter 7, verses 18 through 30. The disciples of John reported all these things to him. In other words, Jesus healed the widow's son. Jesus healed the centurion's servant. And after those miracles, John the Baptist was in prison. John the Baptist was locked up. And a couple of John the Baptist's disciples went and told John about the miracles that Jesus had done. So that's why it says in verse 18, the disciples of John reported all these things to him. And John, calling two of his disciples to him, sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" This is John the Baptist that was talking. This is the man that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River. This is the man that had been preaching about Messiah's coming. And now here he is saying, "Well, are you the one, or shall we look for another?" And when the men had come to him, they said, "John the Baptist has sent us to you, saying, 'Are you the one who is to come?'" Or as in the Greek, it says, "Are you the coming one? Are you the coming one? Or do we look for another?" And in verse 21, it says, "In that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits. And on many who were blind, he bestowed sight." And this was Jesus' answer to that question. "Go and tell John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them." You know, I'm glad that this gospel's not for just the wealthy, but it says, no, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. In other words, people that are living on the other side of the tracks, they get the gospel preached to them. Verse 23, "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." That's going to kind of be our text today. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. In fact, let's all read verse 23 together. "And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Verse 24 goes on, "When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John." And here's what he asked them. He said, "What did you come out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing?" In other words, expensive, fancy clothes. "Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts." John the Baptist wasn't that kind of a guy. And neither am I, or neither are any of us here. "Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing live in luxury in king's court." Verse 26, "When they did..." "What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." Think about that. He bestowed that upon John the Baptist. "More than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face.'" He's quoting from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." I'll explain that. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers and rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. So if I can, this name doesn't seem like it correlates to this scripture reading, but if I, you'll see why I called it this in a moment. If I could preach on this thought for just a little while, I'm not going to preach a long time, I don't think. And that is, don't fall into the trap. Don't fall into the trap. Let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. Lord, I praise you, God. I bless your name. Lord, this is your word, and we want to revere it. We want to lift it up. We want to esteem it as holy. And Lord, we pray that you would reach our hearts, Lord, through your word today, God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated today. So basically, Jesus is out and he's healing. He healed a centurion servant. And then there was a widow woman that we talked about last week that her son had died. It was her only son. And she was going to be living out her life in abject poverty. And Jesus, the Bible says, having compassion upon her, healed that son of hers, and he rose up. And all the while, John the Baptist, who's been faithful, John the Baptist, who was the guy that was out there preaching that Messiah is coming, Jesus is coming. John the Baptist, the guy that baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, that John the Baptist, guess where he was? Locked up in prison. It's one thing when you suffer for doing wrong. It's another thing when you suffer for doing right. It's one thing to see, to have a need from God and to pray and to ask God for that need. It's another thing to pray and not get that need, but then see other people that seemingly get healed. And you say, man, they got healed. How come I didn't get healed? They got delivered. Why didn't I get delivered? John the Baptist is sitting there in that prison cell, and he's thinking, my goodness, that centurion's servant that was at the point of death was healed. I'm still here in prison. And that widow woman, her son that was completely dead, now has her son restored back to her. She got her miracle, but yet here I still sit in prison. That's what John was looking at things by. And he was looking at things that, you know what, they got what they needed from God. How come I'm not getting my deliverance? Okay? Well, this isn't in my notes, but let me just say this. Okay, this is, and you're probably a lot better person than I am, so maybe this doesn't apply to you, but it applies to me. Carl, you might have something great happen to you, some great deliverance, some great miracle happen to you, and I might need that same miracle, and I don't get it. But just remember one thing. Don't feel sorry for Tim Wiggins. If anything bad happens to Tim Wiggins, Tim Wiggins had it coming. You understand me? You heard the old adage, when bad things happen to good people. Have you heard that? When bad things happen to good people. I heard one man, somebody asked a preacher that one day, he says, well, what about when bad things happen to good people? And R.C. Sproul said, well, the best I can remember, there was only one good man. And he volunteered for the job. None of us are good. Do you understand me? We've all sinned. We've all felt short of the glory of God. And so John's sitting there in prison saying, why isn't something good happening to me? You know what? Anything good that we get, we do not deserve. So thank God for what we do get. But John, in verse 19, he called two of his disciples to him and sent them to the Lord, saying, hey, are you the Messiah, or do we keep on looking? Because I am still sitting here rotting away in this jail cell, and what is going on? Well, I'll tell you the problem. The problem is John was looking at his personal situation. John was looking at his personal circumstances. And you know what? If you always are looking inwardly at yourself, you're always going to find reason to be discontent. But if you will get your eyes off of you and keep your eyes on Jesus. But John was looking at his personal, and based on his personal circumstances, he was saying, listen, I don't know if I believe in you as the Messiah anymore. And are you the guy, or do we need to look for somebody else? And so when those disciples asked asked Jesus, those disciples went from the jailhouse of John the Baptist, went out to where Jesus was, and said, hey, John said he wants to know, are you the coming one? Are you the one who was to come? Or the Greek says, are you the coming one? Or do we look for someone else? And if you look at verse 21, look at in verse 21, look at what Jesus said. What did Jesus say in verse 21? What did Jesus say? He didn't say anything. If you look at verse 21, he didn't say anything. They came and they asked him this question. They said, are you the one that was to come, or do we look for another? And if you look at verse 21, he didn't even answer the question. It just says, in that hour, he healed many people of diseases and plagues and evil spirits, and many who were blind were given their sight back again. And Jesus did, he didn't answer any of that. But what he was doing is he was answering it, but he wasn't answering it with words. He was answering it with actions. You hear what I'm saying? They said, are you really the Messiah? Well, you know what? He could give them a good little talking and say, yeah, let me explain it all out to you. But then rather than have it be words, he said, no, let me show you in actions who I really am. And they asked that, and in that hour, he healed many people. Diseases and plagues and evil spirits and blindness and all of that. And in doing so, he was fulfilling Isaiah chapter 35. Because let me go to Isaiah 35. This was an old, remember Isaiah lived 700 years before Christ, and he prophesied about Messiah. And he said, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He's prophesying about Messiah coming. He's calling Messiah God, by the way. He says, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the... This is what Messiah was going to do. Messiah was going to open the eyes of the blind, and the ears of the deaf would be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing for joy. That's what Messiah was going to do. And so they came to Jesus and said, are you Messiah, or do we look for somebody else? And without even saying any words, Jesus just turned around and took action, amen, and showed them through his actions that, yes, I am he. And then he told them, he said, verse 22, he said, go and tell John what you've seen. Go and tell John what you've heard. Go and tell John that the blind receive their sight. This is verse 22. Go and tell John that the lame are walking. Go and tell John that the lepers are cleansed, and that the deaf are hearing, and that the dead have been raised up, and that the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Go tell John that I'm out here fulfilling and doing everything that the Old Testament said that Messiah was going to do. Go tell John what you've seen and what you have heard. You know what? I want to say this. Again, this isn't my theme, but you know what? Sometimes words just cannot be enough. And this was not one of those times for Jesus to explain to them how he was Messiah. It was time for him to show them how he was the Messiah. And I'm so thankful that I... Have you ever gone to somebody? I remember I went to a doctor here a few years ago and I was asking him about some little condition I was struggling with. And I asked him this question and he gave me this 10-minute long answer with these great big huge words that, man, I wouldn't have even known how to look up in the dictionary. And at the end of his spiel, I just said, okay, I listened to everything you said, but do I have this or not? Sometimes words can just be, Jesus, I'm glad that we're serving a God that, yeah, he gives us words. He's given us his word, the word of God, but he's also a God of action. He's also a God that we can invoke his name. We can invoke his name over sickness and disease. We can invoke his name over horrible circumstances. And it's not just words, but there's action. There's power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we're living in a world of people that want to minimize the name of Jesus Christ, while we're living in a world of people that are trying to erase Christianity from American history, I'm here to tell you that the name of Jesus Christ is exalted and it will continue to be exalted. Anyway, he said, go tell John that, you know, the sick are getting healed. The blind see, the deaf hear, the mute can talk. And then in verse 23, this is kind of the crux of my message today, verse 23. And blessed is the man that is not offended. Right down here on the bottom, verse 23. Blessed is the one who's not offended by me. Let me explain something here. Offended today in our language, offended means that you said something I didn't like, Brother Lloyd, and I got offended. Okay? You know, Brother Lloyd, you came up to me and you told me, well, Brother Wiggins, you don't sweat much for a fat man. Well, Lloyd, I got offended. Lloyd never did say that to me. I made that up. Lloyd never made that up, never said that. But if somebody said that, sometimes you can compliment somebody. Remember when we were living overseas, and Brother William Johnson, growing up in Liberia, you understand, I mean, you know what it is to be poor. You know what it is to not have very much. And I remember we were living over in Spain, starting a church, and we'd have people from the United States come over and visit us. And we would take them over to somebody's house that would go to our church. And they would go inside their house, into their little apartment and say, this is such a cute little apartment. Look at how small the kitchen is. That is just so cute. Gee, thanks. That's like saying you don't sweat much for a fat person. I'm serious. You just don't like it. But Jesus wasn't talking about that kind of offended. He wasn't talking about somebody hurting your feelings. When he said, blessed is the one that's not offended by me, that word in the Greek, just to look at it, it means to stumble. It means to get tripped up. In other words, blessed is the one who doesn't stumble, doesn't lose their way because of circumstances. In fact, this word, if we can even go farther and a little deeper into the Greek, in the very beginning, the very roots of this word was a word that described a trap that had been set. And now you're going to see the name of my message. Don't step in the trap. If you do a little bit of, in fact, Brother Lloyd, you use that ESV study Bible. The ESV study Bible, if you'll read the notes, it talks about this very thing I'm talking about right now, is that this Greek word, in its beginnings, was used to describe a trap that had been set for a bird, that the bird would go into the trap and the trap would spring closed on the bird and the bird would become ensnared. the bird would become entrapped. And so what Jesus was telling John the Baptist is, John, you are sitting there in that jail cell right now, and everybody else is getting miracles and deliverances, but your miracle's not coming right now. And what that's causing you to do is to lose your faith. And now unbelief is beginning to come into your heart. And John, blessed is the one that doesn't get trapped by that. Am I making sense now? Blessed is the one that does not get ensnared in that trap of unbelief. Blessed is the one who's going to stay strong in faith regardless of what the circumstances are. Whether it's rainy or whether the sun's shining, whether you're on a mountaintop with Jesus or whether you're down in the valley of the shadow of death, that wherever you are, you're going to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and not fall into the trap. Don't fall into the trap, folks. Don't fall into the trap of unbelief. Jesus went on in verse 28, and he told the crowd, he said, I tell you, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Out of all of the Old Testament prophets, John the Baptist was one of the best. One of the best. Okay? If you look at John the Baptist, he might not have had a lot of miracles in his ministry like Elijah did, but John the Baptist came on the scene after 400 silent years of not hearing any word from the Lord. And here he came on the scene. This was the man that began to preach about Messiah, that Messiah was coming and that you need to repent and get ready for him to come. And he was the guy that was ushering in the messianic age, the age of Messiah coming when Jesus Christ was going to be. He was the guy. And here's what this is what Jesus said. He says, I tell you that there was none greater than John the Baptist, but look at this, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So what that means, Brian, I don't know how you feel where you stack up in the kingdom of God. You're probably sitting there saying, well, I'm probably not up that high, but I at least know that I'm higher than Sister Carmen. That goes without saying, yeah. Me and Brian, great minds think alike here. And Sister Carmen is sitting back there in the corner saying, well, fine, Brian might be a little higher than me in the kingdom of God, but I look at Eunice and now I know as long as I've got Eunice beat. What was happening here is he wasn't saying that you would be morally superior to John. It's just that you, Brian, are living in the age of fulfillment. John the Baptist prophesied that Messiah was going to come. John the Baptist prophesied. Remember when Jesus came there to get baptized and he says, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? John got to prophesy that. But was John the Baptist still alive when Jesus Christ hung on a cross? Was John the Baptist still alive when that stone was rolled away from the tomb and Messiah came walking out? Was he in the garden that morning when Mary Magdalene, mistaken him for the gardener, went to go talk to him and said, sir, where have you laid my Savior? And he turns to her and he says, Mary. And when she heard that familiar voice, she realized who he was. John the Baptist didn't get to see that. Remember when the disciples were all gathered in that room, in that building, trying to talk about what are we going to do, what are we going to do, and it was all shut up and locked up. And what did Jesus do? Came walking right through the wall. You know what? John wasn't there. So when it says in this verse here, when it says that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist, what Jesus was saying, he was telling John the Baptist's disciples, listen, you guys are following John, But you got to realize something, that this kingdom that I am talking about, remember how John said that I must decrease so that Jesus may increase. That which is coming into place, the very least in this kingdom is better than the very, very best in that kingdom. You know what? I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for what we live in. We live in the age, they lived in the age of prophecy, in which there were prophecies about Messiah. There were prophecies about a new covenant, that we would get our sins washed away, and that the old heart would get taken out, and that God would give us a new heart, and that He would take His laws and He would write them on the tables of our hearts, and that there would be a new covenant. It was going to be an everlasting covenant, and it was never going to go away. And there was promises of a resurrection and promises of eternal life. All of that. We've just got a better plan here, folks. We've got a better... I want to tell you something. You know, I can remember once going into this royal palace in Spain. And I saw this throne that the king and queen had sat on hundreds of years ago. Can I tell you, that was the most uncomfortable looking chair I've ever seen in my life. How would you like to sit on a hard wood chair all day long? Brian, I'm going to tell you something. I got a nice recliner, but can I give you the... I did not know what the word faux meant until I bought that recliner. I bought this recliner. I've got it used off Craigslist, got a great deal on this recliner, and I felt good. And I told Sister Wiggins, I said, let's go get it. It's a faux. F-A-U-X. Does anybody here know what faux means? I didn't know what faux meant. It looked like a leather recliner. But in parentheses, after leather, in parentheses, faux. In other words, imitation. Fake. I'm going to go home today after church and I'm going to get in my fake leather recliner. But can I tell you something? It might be fake, but I sure would lot rather sit in it than that throne that king sat in. What I'm saying is that the worst that we have today is better than the best that they had centuries ago. You understand me? The very worst that we have today is better than what royalty used to have. We've got a better plan today, folks. We are living under a better covenant. We're living under a better time, amen. You look in the Old Testament, the prophets, the Spirit of God would move on them at times. And the Spirit of God would move on them. John the Baptist was the only one of the prophets that had the infilling of the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, it says. But he was different than all of the other Old Testament prophets. But even he didn't get to live to see all the promises that we've got. That it's one thing to have a habitation, a visitation from God, but it's another thing to have a habitation from God. You know what? We can talk a lot about, man, I want a visitation of the Holy Ghost. I want a visitation. Yeah, I know. But you know what? We have a habitation. We have His Spirit living on the inside of us. And the Old Testament folks never, ever, ever got to see that. Okay? And... So you say, Brother Wiggins, what are you saying? Well, let's go back to the main point of my sermon. Back to verse 23, if you can, Brother Bill. Jesus told John. He told John's disciples, he says, you go tell John that the sick are getting healed, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lepers are being cleansed, the poor is having the gospel preached to them. And blessed is the man that is not offended, that does not become trapped, that does not become ensnared. You know, this here, I saw Darius. Where's Darius around here? Where's Darius at? I was going to have Darius help me. Well, I guess I'll have to do this one solely. You're going to see this little bag, and you guys aren't going to like me after seeing this little bag. You're going to think that I'm mean and cruel and all that. This is called a rattle bag. Rattle bag. Darius, come up here. This is called a rattle bag. Darius, this is a rattle bag. Okay? Oh, do I need... Are we good, man?
No.
We're good? Okay. We're good. Now, what I want you to do here, brother, is you're going to start... Stop. Start. And like maybe... Don't just sit here and go like this. But like... Like something's fighting. Okay? Do that. Whoa, you're doing that as good, maybe even better than me. Let me tell you what's going on here. This is what I was doing last November in the woods of Idaho. I was deer hunting. And I was deer hunting during the time of year in which the bucks are getting together with the does. And the ones that get the does, the bucks that get the does, are the big strong guys. So what do the bucks do to decide who gets the does? They fight. Bro, telling you, man, on one hand, I'm almost thinking, man, I want to take this guy hunting with me. On the other hand, I'm thinking, no, I don't, man. He's going to show me up, man. I'll come back with some little thing like this, and he'll come back with some monster. But here's the deal. Give that another little rattle. I did that for about 3 minutes, and then I stopped for a minute or two, and the woods were quiet. And then I started back in and did it again. And all of a sudden, I saw some movement, and here came a buck. And what it was, because here's what that is in that buck's mind is, okay, so there's two bucks down here fighting over some does. So while those bucks are fighting over the does, I'm just going to tiptoe in and steal all the does away while they're fighting it. But the problem is that the fight was a trap. That buck came there expecting to see a fight. And you know what he saw? Just little old me. And by the time he saw me, it was already too late. And if I may put it this way, and I don't want to, please don't get offended by me. Yesterday, Sister Wiggins made some tacos. And the meat for those tacos was the little guy that walked into the trap. Okay? Thanks, brother. He actually did do that really good. Here's the deal. John is in prison, and he's not getting his miracle. He sees other people that are getting their miracles, but he's not getting his. And all of a sudden, he has a crisis of faith, and he just doesn't know if he believes it anymore. And he says, go ask him, are you Messiah? Or do we need to go find somebody else? And Jesus was saying, you go tell John that blessed is the guy that doesn't fall into the trap or the snare of unbelief. Because I want to tell you something. If unbelief comes into your heart, I want to tell you something. We could sit here all day and talk about Christians that have laid their heads on a chopping block and died for their faith. We can sit here and tell the stories of the first century at how Nero would feed Christians to the lions. And Domitian, another Roman emperor. We can sit here and read about, I've read stories, I don't even like to talk about this stuff, about how they would have what they called human candles. And they would take Christians that they had killed and roll them in wax and then light them like a candle. You know what? Those people died, but when they died, their faith was strong. If you've got faith, you'll stand no matter what the adversity, no matter what the circumstances are. You are going to stay, even if it means putting your head on a chopping block for this gospel and for the name of Jesus Christ. But if a spirit of unbelief comes into your heart, guess what? You'll walk away for any reason. I'm just going to read a few verses here. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. And then in the same chapter, verse 17, it says, and with whom was he provoked for 40 years? In other words, it's talking about the children of Israel out in the wilderness for 40 years after they came out of Egypt. And said, was it not those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would never enter into his rest? But to those who were what? Disobedient. So you say, why were they not able to enter in to the promised land? Because of disobedience, right? Because that's what it says. It says they were disobedient. Is that why they couldn't enter in? What does the next verse say? They were not able to enter in, not because of disobedience, but because of unbelief. The disobedience and the rebellion was just the fruits of their unbelief. I want to have the faith that Job had. And we all know the story of Job, how that Job was a wealthy man with a lot of kids, and had everything. As if my dad was here, he'd say, Job had the world by the tail. But in one day, he lost all of his wealth. In one day, he lost all of his children. And then very shortly after that, he even lost his health and was sitting in ashes with boils all over him. And his wife came to him and said, why don't you curse God and die? And Job said, you speak to me like a foolish woman. I'm not going to do that. And Job's friends came to him. And Job's friends, even his friends turned on him. Even his friends said, Job, this is all your fault. All this has happened because of you. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. If Job would have looked at his personal circumstances, that all of his children are now gone, all of his wealth is gone, all of his friends are gone, and even his health is gone. If Job would have looked at his personal circumstances, he would have cursed God and died. Cursed God and died. But let me tell you what Job told one of his friends in Job 19. In Job 19, verse 25, he says, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that he'll stand on the earth in the last day. And after my skin is destroyed, in other words, I've been buried and my skin is rotted off the bones. After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. And then the New King James words the rest of this verse like this. It says, and how my heart yearns within me. Job said, his friends was telling him, Job, you've messed up. Job, you've done all wrong. His friends, his faithless friends, were trying to antagonize him. And he says, no, listen, guys, I know my Redeemer lives. I know he's going to stand on the earth in the last day. And those skin worms destroy this, my skin. Yet in my flesh will I see God. My eyes are going to see him and not another. And my heart yearns for that day. In other words, Job was saying, I'm not going anywhere. My faith's not going anywhere. My faith's not going anywhere. You know what? Don't make the mistake that John the Baptist almost made. Don't step. Remember that trap. I'm telling you, unbelief. I can't do this as good as Darius did. I want to tell you something. Unbelief, it's a trap. It's a snare. You say, oh, what is it? I just don't know if I... But can I give you one more encouraging thought? In fact, let's stand today. Let me give you one little word of encouragement. In fact, Brother Johnson, you can go ahead and start getting Jeff ready to be baptized. Go ahead and start getting him ready. And the one little word of encouragement that I have for you today is this. According to Jesus, was there any Old Testament prophet any greater than John the Baptist? He said, of men born of women, there was none better than John the Baptist. So John the Baptist might not have had the eloquence of Isaiah, but as far as filling the office of a prophet, he was everything Isaiah ever was. He might not have had the visionary insight of Daniel to interpret all those dreams, but as far as filling the duties of the office of a prophet, John the Baptist didn't take second to anybody. But even John the Baptist, one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, listen to me. Hear me today. Please hear this next week. If we want to use the word loosely, we could almost say John the Baptist was one of the greatest, if not the greatest prophet during the Old Testament period. But even the best, even the very best, have times of dark moments in their lives when they say, man, I just don't know. I just wasn't expecting this to happen. I just wasn't expecting this to happen. Even the greatest of prophets have those moments. So I'm telling you, if even the best have them, you're going to have them too. But just remember the words that Jesus told those disciples of John the Baptist. Blessed is the man that doesn't get ensnared. Blessed is the man that doesn't fall into the trap. Blessed is the man. Church, do not fall into the snare of unbelief. Persecution will not pull you away from God. Suffering will not pull you away from God. Unbelief, you'll walk right out that door and you'll never come back again. Jesus says, blessed is the man that doesn't step into the trap, that does not become ensnared. Oh God, in Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands. Let's worship the Lord today. God, I love you, Jesus. Oh, God, I praise you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Sister Wiggins is going to just play a little song here, and let's just take a few moments. Just stay right where you are, and let's just pray, and let's just seek God. Let's call on the Lord today. Sister Wiggins.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how he filled me with the Holy Ghost, how he healed me to the earth. When I think about the Lord, how he picked me up, turned me around, how he placed my Jesus, Lord, you're worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It makes me wanna shout, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus.
Say just a couple of things here real quick. Number one, you would think as far as me being the pastor here that I would probably do all of the baptizing, but Brother Johnson gave this man a Bible study, and Brother Johnson was a pastor over in Africa, and he is qualified to baptize. And are we ready, Brother Johnson? Okay, you just go around the back side there, brother. There's some steps. Brother Carl, get those bottles of water out of the way. And, here, let me, Brother Jeff, let me, can you fit through past those bottles there? We just set those up there just this morning. And if you just want to come right, you can hold on to this railing right here. There you go. There you go. And if you want to just take my, you just hand, just kind of steady yourself. You can just kind of sit down right here if you want. Yeah. Okay. Just be careful. We want you to
There you go.
There you go. Very good. Now, Brother Johnson, I'm going to give this to you here in just a second. But before I give this to you, I want to give one word of encouragement to you, Jeff, is that Jeff, this is your day. You only get baptized once. And so this is your day to be baptized. Just enjoy this. This is a good thing. And amen. So, Brother Johnson, I'm just going to, you got it.
The Lord. There is joy in heaven right now. Hallelujah. Over one soul that has repented of their sins. Presence of the Lord. Brother Jeff, God bless you. Hallelujah. Let's begin to pray for him right now. Begin to pray for him. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Give him to you, oh God. You call him, oh Lord, by your spirit. Lord, you drew him, oh Lord, by your spirit, oh God. Lord, have mercy, Lord, and touch him, oh Jesus. As we go through the time of baptism, oh God. Lord, we pray that you favor the Holy Ghost, oh God. Renew this heart, oh God. Transform his life. We thank you. We bless your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost, Lord, rest upon him, Lord God. Let your word be fulfilled. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless your name. We bless you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, there you can sit down. Hallelujah. You can sit down. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Get baptized.
And you couldn't wait for the others. The others said, go and get baptized. I want to see how it's done. And then we'll come later. So here's the trap. Hallelujah. So when you see the sister recalling, they are washing. They are washing to see what will happen. And then the next time you'll get more people coming. Amen? Amen. So this is your day. The angels are here. The Lord is smiling. Amen? Because you are decided to follow Jesus Christ. You are decided to live your life for the Lord. So, Brother Jeff McLean, right? Today, we're going to baptize you in Jesus' name and for the remission of your sin. So, Brother Jeff, based upon your confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior and repented of your sins, we now baptize you in the name of
that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. Bless that wonderful name of Jesus. No other name I know. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus. Salvation in the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Everybody pray for him one more time. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are able, oh God. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the soul I've been born again. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Favor the Holy Ghost, oh God. Lord, let it not go back, oh God, that he laid for you, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We bless your name. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Here's a fresh face, special. Praise God. Amen. Well, are you glad you came to church today? Amen. Praise God. And you know what I want to tell you?
I just want to say it's a good day.
It's
everything.
Awesome. Awesome. It's a good day.
Hallelujah. You know, give the Lord a hand and pray. It's a good day.
Hallelujah.
God bless you, Jay.
Amen. Let me put it to you this way. This is a super Sunday, and the Super Bowl ain't got nothing to do with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.